All right, so we're diving deep today into the world of the Old Testament. You want to get a handle on the geography, you know, the key spots, what it looked like, and how the land itself shaped the story.
Sounds fascinating.
It is. It is. We've got this amazing lecture here by Dr. Elaine Phillips, and she jumps right into this really cool idea, this land between concept.
Okay.
So think about it. Have you ever considered, like, how being stuck between these huge empires might have actually shaped how the Israelites lived and what they believed?
It's a really key thing to understanding how their story plays out. Dr. Phillips, she uses this chessboard analogy, right? Like, you've got these big players, these powerhouses like Mesopotamia, Egypt. They're making their moves,
and
Israel's right there in the middle of it all.
So it's not just about being, like, physically between them, but being caught in the middle of all their power struggles.
Absolutely, yeah. It's like this constant pressure, right? Makes them vulnerable to attack, to other people's ideas, all that stuff coming from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine trying to figure out who you are, what you believe, when you're constantly being pulled in different directions like that. That's what the Israelites were dealing with.
It's a lot, right? And Dr. Phillips, she doesn't stop there. She's like, this land between thing. It's bigger than just politics, like the environment. It's its own balancing act.
Right. She contrasts, like, this idea people have of the Fertile Crescent, right? All lush and abundant. But she contrasts that with the reality of where Israel was situated. Take the Nile, for instance. It's this incredibly predictable river.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It flows south to north, and it creates this breadbasket of Egypt because it floods so regularly.
Oh.
Now, compare that with the Tigris and Euphrates, much less predictable. And then you start to see how where you live really shapes how your culture develops.
Right. I can see how that would, like, change things. If your very survival depends on whether a river decides to, you know, cooperate or not, you might start thinking it's a god, like they did in Egypt.
Absolutely. It shows you how geography can even shape beliefs. And this whole betweenness, it continues with the climate. You know, Israel's sandwiched between the Mediterranean Sea and the Arabian Desert. And then you've got these mountains creating rain shadows. It creates these little microclimates all over the place.
So you could have, like, one side of a mountain all green and lush, and the other side's practically a desert. And I imagine that really would have impacted where people settled and how they lived.
Oh, for sure. And Dr. Phillips really paints a vivid picture of this in her lecture. She talks about the coastal plain with its bustling cities, and then you have the Shephelah and its rolling hills, and then the central hill country. And each of those regions, well, the geography kind of dictated life in a very particular way.
Speaking of the Shephelah, I've heard it's not a place for the faint of heart, especially if you don't particularly like snakes.
She did mention that, yeah. But it's the hill country that she really highlights, like, that was a really important place for the Israelites. You've got these steep valleys, and then they've got all this terraced farmland. It's almost like a natural fortress. Really fosters this sense of isolation, self-reliance.
Oh, yeah. I remember learning about that terra rosa soil they had and how the limestone bedrock naturally forms these terraces. It's like it was made for farming.
Absolutely, Dr. Phillips. She makes this really cool connection between the actual act of terracing and then this idea of building up the Israelite nation. So it's like this link between the land and their cultural development, you know?
That's fascinating. And it's not just theories, right? She actually went to the Elah Valley.
Yes.
Where David and Goliath had that famous showdown. Yeah. I bet being there, actually being in that spot, it just brings the whole story to life in a whole new way.
Oh, it definitely impacted her. She describes how she was standing there, picturing those two figures facing off, and it gave her chills.
Wow. Talk about bringing history to life.
Yeah.
But Israel isn't all hills and valleys, right? She talks about the wilderness too, doesn't she? That kind of stark, almost harsh beauty, but it's still beautiful, right?
She does, yeah. And it plays such a central role in so many stories. You think about the temptation of Jesus or when David was on the run, that kind of setting. And she points out that even the Dead Sea, you know, it's got this incredibly high salt content, but there's still, like, microscopic life in there.
Yeah.
Shows you that even in the toughest conditions, there's this will to survive.
It's incredible. And then you go from that to the Jordan Valley, which is so lush and green. And then you've got Transjordan, where the Edomites lived, really rugged terrain. It's amazing how much variety they've got packed in such a small area.
Yeah. It really speaks to the complexity of the region, right? And all the challenges, all the opportunities it presented to the people who live there. And Dr. Phillips, she doesn't just talk about the landscape itself. She talks about how people moved through it, how they traveled. And that's where these ancient roads come in.
Oh, right. She talks about the International Coastal Highway, the one that runs along the Mediterranean. And then there's the King's Highway going south through Transjordan. Mm-hmm. These were just like paths, you know, they were these lifelines connecting people and cultures.
Absolutely. And then there's the Way of the Patriarchs. That one ran right along that central ridge. Imagine, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob traveling that same route, herding their flocks, seeing the same landscapes that we're talking about.
Wow. To travel those roads back then, especially with livestock, I mean, talk about a test of your patience. Getting a flat tire back then wouldn't have been a quick fix, that's for sure.
Right. Makes you appreciate how tough they had to be. And Dr. Phillips really emphasizes that understanding these routes, it helps us understand the Bible better.
Okay.
Like, think about the Exodus, right?
Yeah.
If you trace the routes they might have taken, it gives you this much deeper understanding of the challenges they faced, you know, and just how far they actually traveled.
It's like those maps you see at historical sites, you know, where they show you how the armies move. It's like,
yeah.
Suddenly it's not just a story in a book. It's a real event,
right,
happening in a real place.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And these roads, they weren't just for getting around. They were full of traders, you know, all sorts of cultural exchange happening, especially with the spice trade.
Speaking of spices, I've always been fascinated by how valuable they were back then. I mean, it's hard to imagine cinnamon being worth more than gold.
I know, right? It really shows you how differently things were valued back then. What we might think is ordinary was a luxury. And Dr. Phillips, she points out, they used spices for everything, preserving food, religious rituals, medicine, even burying their dead.
Wow.
And then you have camels, those ships of the desert, right? They were the key to moving all those precious goods across huge distances. To think they could handle those harsh landscapes and still get those spices all over the ancient world.
It's amazing. It really shows you how creative people had to be, and animals too, to make it in that region. And it really reinforces that whole land between idea, right?
Yeah.
Israel wasn't just like a bridge between empires. It was a place where people met, where ideas and goods traveled from east to west and back again.
That's a great point. It wasn't just a land between empires. It was a land between cultures. And of course, all this movement, all this trade, it all depends on food, right? People got to eat. Dr. Phillips, she doesn't forget about that, does she?
She always brings us back to the practical stuff, doesn't she?
She does. She does. She talks about the key crops of the land, grain, wine, and olive oil, right? And she emphasizes how they weren't just about, you know, staying alive. They were a part of the Israelites' whole culture and religion.
Yeah, that's right. Like, the word lehem, I think it's often translated as just food, but it really means more than that. You know, it's about sustenance, nourishment for both body and soul.
Exactly. And she gives you this really vivid image of just how hard people worked for their food. Like, women, they would spend like 3 hours every day just grinding grain to feed their families. Yeah. 3 hours.
Wow. That puts a whole new spin on the phrase daily grind. And then you've got the olive tree, which was like the ultimate multi-tool. Its oil was used for like everything, religious ceremonies, skincare, medicine, food, even fuel for their lamps.
It was essential. And it's interesting, you know, Dr. Phillips points out that even though God promised them a land flowing with milk and honey, he also described it as having vipers and scorpions. It's a reminder that life in ancient Israel, while it was blessed, it wasn't always easy.
Right. It's a good reminder that even when you have plenty, you still need to be tough, you know, resourceful.
Absolutely. And that leads us to one of the most fascinating points Dr. Phillips makes, this idea that blessings and curses were like woven into the very fabric of the land.
Okay.
She reads this powerful passage from Deuteronomy 11 that really emphasizes how God's blessings, you know, the rain, the abundance, it was all tied to whether the Israelites obeyed him or not.
So the land itself became a symbol of their relationship with God.
Right.
It wasn't just about living there. It was about proving their faithfulness.
Exactly. And that idea, it plays out throughout the whole Old Testament. When they were faithful, the land flourished. But when they turned away from God, they faced hardship. Droughts, famines, invasions. It wasn't random. It was directly tied to their spiritual state.
Wow. So it's like the land itself was responding to the choices they made. And that makes those stories of struggle and conflict even more powerful. They weren't just fighting for territory. They were fighting for their relationship with God.
Exactly. And it's a reminder that the Bible's not just a collection of historical accounts. It's about people wrestling with their faith, figuring out who they were. And it all happened in this very specific place, this land between.
And just knowing the geography, understanding the challenges and the opportunities it presented, I mean, it just makes you appreciate those struggles so much more.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not just Old Testament history either. Think about Jesus. He grew up in this land, and he used imagery from these very landscapes in his parables.
Oh, you're right. The sower scattering seed, the shepherd searching for his lost sheep, the vineyard owner wanting fruit at all. It all takes on a whole new meaning when you understand where those metaphors came from.
It's like Dr. Phillips is giving us this secret key to unlock the Bible.
I have to admit, at first I thought, you know, geography, it might be a little dry, but it's anything but. Yeah. It's like seeing the Bible with fresh eyes, realizing these aren't just stories. They're connected to a real place, a real history.
That's the amazing thing about deep dives like this. We're not just learning facts. We're gaining this whole new understanding of the story that shaped the world. But we're not done yet. There's still so much more to discover.
All right, I'm ready to keep going. Everyone, stay tuned, because we're going to keep digging into this fascinating world of biblical geography. We're back, and I got to say, I'm still kind of blown away by that whole idea of the land itself being a test of faith. It really changes how I see those stories in the Old Testament. You know, all the ups and downs they went through.
Yeah, that connection between the land, the actual physical place, and the spiritual journey of the Israelites. It's one of the most fascinating things about Dr. Phillips' lecture. She really argues that this land between, with all its challenges built in, it was meant to be this crucible for their faith.
A crucible. So it's more than just a test. It's like a refining fire.
Exactly. Think about it. They've experienced these incredible miracles, right? Escaping slavery, crossing the Red Sea.
Right.
But then they hit this whole new challenge, learning to live in a land that really forces them to trust God to provide for them.
Right. No more manna from heaven. Now they got to work the land. They got to have faith that the rain's going to come.
Right. It's like this whole new level of dependence on God, but also this deeper connection to the land itself.
Hmm.
Does Dr. Phillips talk about how this plays into the whole covenant idea?
That's a good question.
She does. She does. Remember God's promise to Abraham, you know, his descendants would inherit this land, but that inheritance came with strings attached, so to speak. Obedience meant blessings, but disobedience brought curses.
So the land it's like a physical representation of their relationship with God. It's not just about, you know, the boundaries. It's about the spiritual consequences of what they did.
That dynamic, you see it running through the whole Old Testament story. When the Israelites were faithful, the land was good to them. It thrived. But when they strayed, when they went against God's commands, that's when they faced hardship. Droughts, famines, even invasions. Those weren't just random events. You know, they were a direct consequence of their spiritual state.
So it's like the land itself was like reacting to their choices.
Mm-hmm.
That makes those stories of conflict and struggle even more powerful, right? They weren't just fighting for territory. They were fighting for their covenant with God.
It's a really important reminder that the Bible is not just, you know, a bunch of stories. It's a record of a people struggling with their faith, with who they were, with their relationship with God. And it all happened in this specific place, this land between.
And knowing about the geography, understanding the challenges, the opportunities it presented, it just makes you appreciate those struggles even more.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And it's not just Old Testament history either. Think about Jesus. He was born in this land. He lived here. And a lot of the imagery he used in his parables, it came from these very landscapes.
Oh, you're right. When he talks about the sower scattering seed, or the shepherd looking for his lost sheep, the vineyard owner waiting for his fruit, it all makes more sense when you understand the world he was living in. You know, the environment that inspired those metaphors.
It's like Dr. Phillips is giving us this secret decoder ring for understanding the Bible.
That's a great way to put it.
By understanding the geography, we unlock these deeper layers of meaning.
I have to admit, when we started this whole thing, I thought, okay, geography, You know, I wasn't sure how exciting it would be, but it's been anything but. It's like reading the Bible for the first time, realizing these aren't just stories in a book. They're connected to a real place, a real history.
That's the power of going deeper, right? Digging below the surface, really wrestling with the text, with the context. And we're not done wrestling yet.
Bring it on. I'm ready for more. What other insights did Dr. Phillips have about the challenges and the victories of living in this land between?
Well, she gets into the nitty-gritty of how the Israelites actually farmed the land. And because they depended on rainfall, she really emphasizes how vulnerable they were to drought.
Oh, right. Yeah. She talks about how important those early and latter rains were. If those failed, the whole harvest could be wiped out.
Exactly. It makes you realize how precarious life was back then, totally dependent on things outside their control.
Which makes their ingenuity and how adaptable they were even more impressive, right? Like, think about all those terraces, the cisterns they built to save water, and how they had to choose crops that could survive in a dry climate.
They were resilient and resourceful. And Dr. Phillips makes the point that their innovative spirit, that's something we can learn from today, you know?
Oh, absolutely. It's inspiring to see how, even when things were tough, they found ways to not just survive, but actually thrive.
It's a powerful message for us, especially, you know, these days when things can feel so overwhelming, so uncertain. We've got the ability to overcome, to find creative solutions, to thrive even when things are tough.
So this whole deep dive into biblical geography, it's more than just a history lesson, isn't it?
It's a journey of discovery, a chance to connect with our past, to really understand what faith is all about, and to find inspiration to face the challenges we have today. But we're not quite done yet. There's one more layer to explore, one final piece of the land between puzzle that Dr. Phillips reveals.
All right, don't leave us hanging. What is it? What's that final piece?
Well, she talks about how the Israelites' agricultural practices weren't just about survival. They were deeply tied to their spiritual lives. She suggests that for them, working the land, it was a form of worship.
We're back, and we're ready to uncover that last piece of the land between puzzle. You know, before the break, we were talking about those ancient Israelites, how tough they were, how they dealt with droughts and found ways to make the most of what they had. Really incredible.
Yeah, their ingenuity is really something else. But Dr. Phillips, she takes it even further. You know, she says that their agricultural practices, they weren't just about staying alive. They were deeply connected to their spiritual lives. She suggests that for the Israelites cultivating the land, it was a form of worship.
So it wasn't just about tending crops. It was about tending their relationship with God, right? I really like that idea.
Yeah, it's this really beautiful link between the physical and the spiritual. And then she points out that even the language of the Bible, it reflects this. Like the Hebrew word for work, it's often the same word they used for worship.
Wow. So all that work they did in the fields, the daily grind, literally, it was seen as an act of devotion.
Exactly. Imagine like harvesting the crops, bringing in the grain. It wasn't just food. It was like an offering, a symbol of God's blessing. It makes you think about providing for your family as something sacred, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It makes me think about like my own daily routines. You know, maybe there's a way to bring that intentionality, that awareness of something bigger into everything we do.
Right. That's what's so great about Dr. Phillips' approach. She helps us connect those ancient practices to our own lives. It's not just history, it's a living story, you know, one that still speaks to us today.
I have to say, I'm really glad we did this deep dive together. It's like we've been given this amazing map, not just to the ancient world, but to a deeper understanding of the Bible, of ourselves even.
And the journey doesn't have to end here, right? The real adventure starts when you go back to those familiar stories with this new awareness of the land between. Pay attention to the details of place, the descriptions of the landscapes, how the environment shapes the whole story.
It's like we said before, we've got this secret decoder ring for the Bible now.
Right. And don't be afraid to use, you know, maps, commentaries, travel guides even. There's a whole world of resources out there to help you understand even more.
And I think maybe most importantly, approach those stories with curiosity, you know. Be open to being surprised by what you find.
Couldn't agree more. It's not about just, you know, memorizing facts. It's about deepening your relationship with the story that shaped our world, the story that's still part of us.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing you really hope our listener takes away from all this?
I hope they remember that the Bible isn't just, you know, a book of ideas. It's a story rooted in a real place, a land with an incredibly rich and complex history. And by understanding that, understanding this land between, we can unlock a whole new level of meaning. It makes those stories come alive.
That's beautifully put. What an amazing journey this has been, from these huge empires to the smallest details of daily life. The land itself has been our guide, showing us all these layers of insight.
It's been a pleasure exploring this with you. And now it's your turn. As you go back and read those stories, ask yourself, what else might I see differently now through the lens of this land between?
That is a great question. I know I will. Thanks for joining us on this incredible deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep discovering all the hidden depths of our world.